1 Samuel chapter 20. This is the second part of our consideration in the series on the life of David, on depression, the Christian and depression. David experienced much depression in his life because of his trials, some that were his fault and some that were not. Nonetheless, he is an example of one of believers who often find ourselves depressed in the providence and the will of God, and the Lord teaches us how to deal with it, how to use Scripture and use His Word to find alleviation and grace to endure, and also His power to overcome. We read this text last week, but I would like to read it over again to just underscore the fact that David often did get depressed over circumstances. It says in 1 Samuel 20, in verse 1, "And David fled from Naoth and Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, 'What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?' And he said unto him, 'God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so.' And David sware moreover and said, 'Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes.' And he saith, 'Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved.'" So here was a struggle between David and his friend. And David seems to prevail in his depression at this point, where he says, "But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." But later on we find that the Lord gives David the grace to overcome. And this is in chapter 30. If you'll turn there, chapter 30. This is where he finds the city where his family and all the city that was given to him by the Philistine Ziklag was burnt by the Amalekites. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And it says, David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod." And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." So David went. What a stark difference between what I read to us in chapter 20 and chapter 30. David seems to succumb to his depression in chapter 20, and he, by grace, overcomes it in chapter 30. And we find often, do we not, our roller coaster lives. Lord, help us to be able to see more of a plateau and more of a plane than a roller coaster kind of life. We all find ourselves in ebbing and flowing, don't we, in our experiences. The Bible is very candid and it addresses the subject of the believer and depression. And I don't want to just cover all the territory from last week, but it helps to know that we're not the only one that gets depressed. You or I are not the only ones. That we all do get depressed at times. The question is, do we remain depressed? Do we remain in that condition, or do we seek to find God's remedies so that we might emerge from that distress and that depression? Even the Apostle Paul, as great a man he was, and seem as consistent a man he was depressed. It tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he despaired even of life. And that certainly is a description of the extremity of depression. But yet, nonetheless, we find that he indicates that it was experienced by him, and it's not an uncommon thing for God's people. But it is certainly uncommon to remain extensively in those conditions. But how good is the God we adore, and He addresses us and cares for us. He tells us that casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. So I want us to ponder this morning, especially the Christian remedy, or the remedy for Christian depression. Last week we looked at the fact that there are real situations that can result in depression. When you feel the weight of the circumstances and the fear of the ramifications and the results come hard down upon your shoulders, where you find the persecution of friends and family, as David did, tragedies that seem to take place over and over again, disappointments, sicknesses, sins, where we find, for instance, in Psalm 32, that the hand of God was heavy upon him because of his sin. And we find all of these situations that can result in depression experienced by David himself as a representative believer. And you and I experience these things at times. The discouragement of a family member, or the tragedy or trouble or calamity that comes to a life, the death of a child or a grave sickness in the family, disappointments, as David was disappointed by Saul's change of minds and moods, and even his wife's discouragement after a while. His sins, of course, weighed heavily upon him, his adultery, his murder, his pride, and his neglect. And these certainly hit home with all of us, as we all know that there are times that we fail. The righteous man does fall 7 times, but he rises up again. We discern the difference between avoidable and unavoidable depression, and that we need to pray that God will help us to avoid those situations that naturally cause depression, our sins, that the Lord would help us to refrain from sinning against Him, but also when we do sin, to make short account of it, to quickly repent. And I think that's a fault that we all would confess, that sometimes we allow our sins to remain, to allow conviction to simmer, as it were, to remain with us. And the Lord tells us there is an outlet, there is grace. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Many are unavoidable. David had Saul after him, who was jealous. Nabal's obnoxious refusal to help David and his soldiers. His own cousin Joab was treacherous. The death of his children, sickness, and just routine in his life, no doubt, was part of it. And as far as we're concerned, there are other things that are unavoidable that occur in our lives. Accidents and reversals of fortune and sicknesses. And there are chemical and physical causes. And someone said, and perhaps You find it in some of the passages in Scripture where depression is recognized, that they really couldn't point a finger as to what was causing it. They don't really say. Sometimes they say an enemy is persecuting them. Sometimes they point out a sin that has been revealed. But it's true that sometimes they can't explain it. It's just a darkness that has fallen upon them. And I do believe that that was addressed by a text in Isaiah chapter 50 last week, where it says that the servant is serving the Lord, is worshiping the Lord. As far as he knows, he's right with God, but a darkness pervades him. And what is the answer? Endurance in faith. Let him stay upon his God. Wait upon the Lord in prayer. And the Lord certainly is able to take the clouds away and to lift them off our minds and our hearts and bring the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. We looked at some poor ways of treating and tackling depression. We shouldn't exaggerate it. I'm going to die. That's essentially what David said. There's just a step between me and death. And all the while, the Lord had promised that David would be king. And he certainly exaggerated his condition. And without naming all of these, it can be minimized. We don't want to minimize a person's depression, as Proverbs 25:20 indicates. Those that sing songs to a heavy heart, that isn't the solution. The solution isn't just, come on, you need to be encouraged. Let's just sing a song. It's not that simple. And I talked about the simplistic approach. There isn't just one answer necessarily. We need to weep with those who weep, as well as rejoice with those who rejoice. I think sometimes people try to sleep it away, and that isn't the solution either. Although sleep may help if you're needing sleep and you're depressed, take a nap. But I think sleep sometimes can aggravate the situation. Remember, Peter and James and John were in the garden, and the Bible tells us they slept for, what's it say in Luke? They slept from the grief. They were depressed over what the Lord had predicted, and their sleep was a cause of their depression. And their depression, as it were, they felt that it was going to be solved by just going to sleep. We know we wake up with the same burden upon our hearts. But having said that, thank the Lord, He does give us some solutions and remedies. And not only should we realize there are poor ways of treating and tackling depression, but we need to educate and exercise our souls with the divine remedies and solutions for depression. There is a solution. The Lord tells us that He'll give us grace. And we know from David's experience that a solution for him, which is representative to us, is prayer. We find in the Psalms, whenever he speaks of depression, like Psalms 32, 39, and 51, we find David praying to the Lord through his depression and in his depression. He confesses his sin that caused depression. That's prayer. He admits his depression to the Lord. And that is a remedy. That's a tonic in a sense. Just to be honest with the Lord. Lord, I'm depressed. My heart is dark. I can't understand what's causing it. I've confessed my sins as far as I know. Lord, I need grace. Just to be able to tell the Lord is a tonic to the soul. So prayer is very important. The psalmist in Psalm 119:28 said, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." He acknowledged his depression and his heaviness, and he cried out that the Lord would strengthen him according to his word. Remember, we read in that entry this morning in our bulletin, Peter, when he was beginning to sink, what did he do? He cried out to the Lord, "Lord, help me. Lord, save me." Let's never underestimate prayer. So often we find ourselves only having chunks of prayer rather than often praying. We need to beware that the Lord teaches us to pray without ceasing. Sometimes we can focus all of our efforts on our prayer closets, whether it be in the morning or afternoon or evening, and we find that we shut the door behind us. And we don't really commune with God in the same degree until the next morning or until the next scheduled chunk of time. I do think it's important for us to practice the presence of God, to be able to call out to the Lord at all times. David would say, evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. You practice the presence of God, because depression doesn't just hit a certain time of the day. And you may find that the cloud lifts and then returns again very shortly thereafter. The Lord is teaching us to pray without ceasing, to rely upon Him at all times. We find that when David prayed, he seemed to be greatly encouraged. When he was worried about the people of Keilah, and that was such a sad circumstance, that would cause tremendous depression. He just delivered Keilah from their enemies. And Saul, he hears that David is with these people in their city, and Saul is going to chase David and try to envelop him in the city of the people of Keilah. And David prays, and he says, Lord, will these people deliver me to Saul? Surely they'll join me. Surely they'll hide me. I've just delivered them from their enemies. I've done something good to them. Lord, tell me, should I stay in the city or leave? And the Lord says, leave. They're going to deliver you to Saul. And that would have been greatly discouraging as he left the city, to think, I had just rescued these people, and yet they would turn around and deliver me up. And sometimes we disappoint each other, don't we? And I think those can be the hardest times, and the times that cause us the greatest depression, when we're disappointed by our own brothers and sisters. He prayed about Keilah. He prayed about smiting the Philistines. This is also in chapter 23. He prayed about pursuing the Amalekites, chapter 30 and verse 8. We find that David was able to be strengthened in his depression when he prayed unto his God. And I'm not saying that your depression is always going to be lifted when you're praying. But may I say this, it'll never be lifted if you're not praying. If you're never seeking the Lord, if you're just dwelling upon your worry. Or may I say that someone said, we need to practice talking to ourselves, as it were, rather than letting ourselves talk to us. For the Bible says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord is God. So often we listen to ourselves. We listen to our depression, rather than attacking it with the Word of God. And David encouraged himself in the Lord is God. And maybe we often listen to it, it'll never go well with me. This will never be lifted. Rather, let's attack it. Let's not just listen to ourselves. Let's talk to ourselves. And I hope I'm not speaking anything heretical here, but you know what I'm saying, that we're taking the Word of God and we're using it to encourage ourselves. What does it mean that David strengthened himself in his God? He encouraged himself in the Lord as God. He took God's promises and let them deafen the voice of depression, if you will. He let them deafen the threats and the cares that had brought upon him as the people spake of stoning him. Have you practiced meditating on God's Word? That's really what it is. Meditating on God's Word, letting God's Word attack those thoughts that seem to discourage you. Prayer and meditation, encouraging yourself in the Lord your God, exercising faith in the Lord despite your condition. David encouraging himself in the Lord his God. He abideth faithful. Though he allows this cloud to remain upon me, he abideth faithful. Endure to the end. There is that aspect of trusting the Lord in your extremity. Prayer, and faith and meditation. But may I say that the Bible shows us something else very practical? Covenant friends and fellowship. What would David have been like if he didn't have Jonathan? I mean, just in tremendous encouragement from his friend Jonathan. Again, in chapter 20, David was depressed and Jonathan could sense it. And Jonathan said, "Look, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but he'll show it to me." And he said, "Look," and constantly Jonathan was saying, "You're going to be king. I know that's the case." Look, for instance, in chapter 23 and verse 16. Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Here was a friend of David that kept encouraging David along the promises of the Lord. And he said, for verse 17, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth." And they made a covenant before the Lord. Friends are of tremendous help. He went to meet with Samuel when he couldn't meet with Jonathan. We're told this in chapter 19 and verse 18. 19 and verse 18. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done unto him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. There was this fellowship. Samuel said, "Come on, David. As it were, like the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, come out into the desert. Come out up into the mountain and rest a while." And Samuel was there to be a tonic for David in his depression. And of course, I don't know if it's misery that loves company, but chapter 22 and verse 2 says that everyone that was in distress, everyone that was depressed, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gather themselves together unto him. Now maybe that can aggravate your depression when everybody else is depressed comes to you. But I don't sense that that is essentially what it's saying. It's saying that, look, they all had something in common. And in a real sense, you know, all Christians have this in common, that we all have varying degrees of depression and situations that cause depression, the debt, and the discontentedness, whether Saul had stripped the people of their land or whatsoever was being unfair. But the point of the matter here is that covenant friends and the fellowship of believers is instrumental in relieving distress and encouraging us when we are in times of great darkness and depression. To cultivate fellowship with others versus isolation. Isolation will only aggravate the situation. No wonder why the Scripture tells us to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Two is better than one, the Bible says, for if they fall, the one will lift up the other. It's iron that sharpens iron. It's, again, exhorting one another. Reciprocal relationships are critical in order for us to have our depression alleviated and for just to know that there are others that understand. And let's remember the words of the Lord. And of course, He always sent them out two by two, where each one could encourage each other. And Christian fellowship is so often underestimated. It's so important that we gather together so we can share our experiences and share the Scriptures that we've learned and share our burdens. Isolation will only aggravate the situation. Take God's remedies and have reciprocal relationships with God's people. Doing right, fourthly, is a remedy. Don't ever renege on responsibilities, because again, that will aggravate the guilt in the life. Psalm 34, when David was talking about depression, he said, "Do good." Verses 12 to 14. The best thing to do during, well, one of the profitable things to do in depression is to assume your responsibilities. When David was respecting Saul, that lifted his guilt. Remember, his conviction was underscored when he cut Saul's skirt. And he realized he had done wrong. It says his heart had smitten him. But then when he began to respect Saul and honor him, that was certainly one area of aggravation that was removed. He fought with the Philistines. He helped Nabal and Keilah and the Egyptian that was left by the Amalekites. He protected Abiathar when he fled from the sword of Saul's wicked servant. Well, the point is, when David was serving the Lord, when he was assuming his responsibilities as he should, when he was busy in the Lord's work, that as it were, his conscience was blessed, that he was doing right. And certainly that was a great help in his depression. But when David isolated himself, when David did wrong, for instance, when he joined the Philistines, when he acted like a madman in Gath, you could find that he aggravated his situation. But as he served the Lord, he was casting his cares upon him, and he was too busy, as it were, to dwell upon himself. And I think that is a great help to us in times of depression. There are others that are depressed as well as we are that need our help. And instead of recoiling, we need to serve the Lord and encourage others. God will give us grace. And we find that when we encourage others, that it's a tremendous help to our own souls. Believe me, there are times I feel so depressed, I don't want to stand in the pulpit. Or I don't want to go to the nursing home. I feel like the best thing for me to do is to maybe sleep it off or just to be a leader. And I'm not saying that there are times that we shouldn't go into the wilderness a while like the Lord took His people. But I find that when I just assume my responsibilities and do right, that often in the path of duty, the Lord's grace comes sweeping in. And I find that when I go into the nursing home, that many of the people there are there to encourage me, especially the believers. And we know that that's the case when we come together in the church of God, that there are some of us that are depressed at times, and there are some of us who have had the depression lifted, and we both need each other in whenever we come together. Perseverance, patience, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. There are times where you're just needing to endure. Just endure. Endure in prayer, endure in meditation, endure. Even if we find that a friend's words may not encourage us at the time, we're thankful for that friend and we endure our depression. We endure while we're doing right. We trust that the Lord is leaving this cloud over our head for a reason, that He's seeking to mold us. As Paul said, we went through our trials that we might be able to comfort those who were afflicted. Wait on the Lord. He's the God of light. He's able to lift it. So there are Christian remedies. And whenever we find ourselves remedied and helped, we need to focus on the preventions that brought us into times of depression in the first place, or at least extended times. We find there are biblical remedies, but also there are biblical preventions. And a lot of these preventions are the same thing as remedies. Whenever we find the clouds lifted, we need to bask in the Lord's presence, the Son of Righteousness that arises with healing in His wings. We need to focus on the preventions, focusing on God's promises. Rejoice in the Lord always. When we find that the cloud is lifted, we begin to rejoice, continue to rejoice, because it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We need to stay upon our God. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is our encouragement. I would encourage you to take promises that bless the heart. As David said, Blessed are they whose sins are forgiven. Dwell upon the blessing of forgiveness when you're forgiven. Rejoice in the Lord for His forgiveness. Psalm 32, at the end, I think we don't dwell enough on forgiveness and God's mercies to us. I think they're so abbreviated because our lives are so filled with busyness. Psalm 32, be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You ever have a singing session when the clouds are lifted? You ever fall on your face and in an extended time of thanksgiving? In other words, enjoy when the clouds are lifted. Thank the Lord for the sun that shines. Isn't it so, even weather at times can affect our feelings. But these last few days of sunshine were wonderful, weren't they? To wake up in the morning with the sun shining in our windows and seeing the blue skies and the warm weather. You know, we should be thankful and capture the moments. Prayer is not only a remedy, it's a prevention. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Watch and pray lest you sin and depression falls all over again. Watch and pray because the devil's looking out for vulnerable people to bring situations that will depress us. David writes Psalm 34 after his embarrassment of his madness and Gath. And he writes this, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles." And then he encouraged others to find help in his experiences. "Come ye children," he said, "and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." He was saying, "Look, I've been through this, and I can help you in your depression." Again, doing your duty is not only a remedy, it's a prevention. Schedule the priorities and fulfill your schedule. Don't renege on your responsibilities when you find that depression begins to set in. But of course, doing your duty, doing right, is a tremendous help. Every day, do right. Do right, as Bob Jones said, though the stars fall. What does the Lord thy God require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Do right. Do right. Do right. Do you schedule your priorities? Do you prioritize your time? Resist pity parties. Resist fatalism. "I can't. I'll never have victory over this." Don't let yourself get into pity parties. Don't listen to yourself when you begin to find that you're coiling up into a ball. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Refuse to listen to the voice of fatalism. May we repent of sins immediately. That is a tremendous prevention. May we never allow ourselves to go a day without getting right with our spouse. An hour without apologizing to someone that we've been nasty to. We should make short accounts with sin. When we have lusted, we need to pray, "Oh God, forgive me. Cleanse me." We need to repent of sins immediately. That's a tremendous preventative of depression. Because we allow that sin to simmer. We allow that guilt to increase. And the cloud and the depression settles in simply because we have not confessed our sin to the Lord. We need to change our erroneous vocabulary. "I can't take it anymore." We need to change that kind of vocabulary. I know this is behavior modification, but we need to modify our behavior. Refuse to allow this kind of behavior. "I can't take it." Yes, you can. God is with you. God will strengthen you. No one else ever has this kind of... Yes, they do. There are people that are worse than I am and worse than you are. There are people that you can encourage. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, will with the temptation make the way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I can't bear it. Yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We cannot listen to the voice of fatalism. Let us listen to the Lord's word. Let us encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. Depression is real. From real weights upon the soul. Let us discern the avoidable stresses and pray that God will give us grace to avoid those. Let us learn the right and wrong ways to tackle depression from unavoidable sources and pray through the proper gospel methods. We need gospel thinking. We need the helmet of salvation on our heads. Again, Paul experienced it. He talked about great dangers. He was in weariness and painfulness and hunger and thirst and care of all the churches. And his divine means of strength and youthfulness is found in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, among other things. I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. He said that even distresses and times of depression were ordered by the Lord. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And he said in another place that the Lord, for instance, wouldn't take away this bodily infirmity. And he wondered why, and the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect through weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I'm not saying that this is a simplistic thing. I'm saying the Lord addresses it. And we're all together in this. We're not on an island. The Lord gives us His Word. He's given us Genesis through Revelation to help us. People who have experienced the same troubles and trials. He gives us divine remedies. Question is, are we desiring those remedies? Are we desiring for the Lord to change us? Are we willing to listen? David would say in Psalm 32, "Be not as the mule or the horse." In other words, he was saying, I think he's saying, I was like a mule and a horse. I wouldn't listen. I wouldn't listen to the voice of conviction. All those months he remained in depression because of his sin. He wouldn't listen. And he's saying to us, don't be like I was. Be a quick listener. Allow the Lord's Word to change your mind. Have faith for the Lord's deliverance. The Bible says many troubles are the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them from them all. Focus on hope and not despair. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. And shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. There's hope. As long as God is still on the throne, there's hope. For God is a God of joy. God rejoices over us with singing. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness and goodness, faith, meekness and temperance. He giveth more grace. These cares, depression is one of them, worries another, and many different cares. What does he say? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Christian and depression and remedies for Christian depression, I believe God's word addresses it. The Lord help us. The Lord knows the way that we take. He hath tried us, we shall come forth as gold. I hope it's been a help. I hope that we'll take the help from His Word. That we'll take the remedies that He gives us, including the fellowship of God's people, covenant friends. The Word of God addresses this. May the Lord bless this to our hearts. Gracious Father, we thank Thee for the clouds of life. that remind us that we're living in a world of sin, reminding us that we have a Savior. Lord, it's only when there's only sunshine, it's desert. When there's only rain, it's swampy. Lord, we don't want to dwell in the desert. We find that when everything seems to be going our way, that one little problem devastates us. And Lord, deliver us from times where just our life is in the swamp. Lord, you know how much we can take. We thank you, Lord, for the mixture of sunshine and rain. We're thankful, Lord, for the seasons, not only literally, but spiritually. Thank you for the seasons of life where you reveal to us our need of thee and our need of each other, where we can't dwell alone. Lord, you've made us social creatures. You've made us so that we are dependent on Christ and dependent on the body of Christ. Help us, Lord, in our depression. Fill us with your Spirit. Ready us. Help us to be armed with the promises of God. We thank you, Lord, that you care. Thank you for helping David. Thank you, Lord, for giving us such an array of experiences from his life. He was a man of like passion as we. Lord, grant that we might be able to help others who go through seasons of depression. But may we be able to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God, to endure to the end, and to be able to say, the Lord is faithful. He that hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Dismiss us with a sense of your blessing, in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.